All right, I need to find out that definition of a leprechaun again. I like that. What'd you say? It's an angel in an old man's body. Is that what you said? A fairy in an old man. Okay. All right. Another senior moment. Amen. Yes, sirree. Turn your Bibles, please. Pardon me, to the book of Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I want to talk to you tonight again on faith, promise, giving. While you're turning there, let me mention that we do have some prayer cards, and I'll place these here on the corner of the pulpit. Maybe we can get those back in the foyer later. But take one of these and pray for us. And the picture on there of myself is guaranteed to kill termites, water bugs, silver fish. You know, get one thrown on the house. Amen. It'll help you. All right. I want to say again that we appreciate the food. I want to thank the ladies for that delicious meal today and what your ladies are going to be doing throughout the week. That's what it takes to make a church function. Everybody doing their part. And listen, the Lord's not passing over this lightly. You find in the scriptures that the Lord even rewards cups of water given to someone because they belong to Christ. And if you give a cup of water to a child in the name of a disciple only, the Lord says, that person shall in no wise lose their reward. And if God rewards the giving of cups of water, wonder what He's doing for significant giving and tithing, giving offerings, going beyond that, giving faith promise. And I just want to encourage you to avail yourself of the blessing of giving to missions. I heard the story of a man years ago dying up here somewhere in the North Country. I don't know if he's on up into Canada but he was caught in a snowstorm driving his car, was out on a secondary road, and skidded out of the road in near blinding conditions, got hopelessly stuck in a snowbank, and he tried, couldn't get the car unstuck. Looked at his fuel gauge, and he thought within himself, he said, there's no way that I can survive this blizzard in this car. And he knew there was a farmhouse somewhere on up the way, but he wasn't sure exactly how far. And so he gets out of his car, bundles up the very best that he can, and puts his hat on, starts walking, skidding, almost stumbling at times in the snow with it getting deeper and deeper. And that man became so extremely cold. The feeling was about to leave his hands and his feet, and he had an almost irresistible urge, Pastor, to lie down and go to sleep. And being an experienced man of cold weather, he knew that was the sign of hypothermia. And if he yielded to that temptation, he knew that nothing short of a miracle would awaken him this side of eternity. And so struggling on in near blinding conditions, almost frozen, he stumbled over something in the snow. And he stopped and uncovered it, and sure enough, his suspicion was confirmed. A fellow traveler had fallen in the same circumstances, except he had yielded to the urge to lie down. He checked the man's pulse. He was still alive, but barely. And he thought within himself, he said, what can I do? He said, I'm nearly frozen myself. But if I leave this man here, if I can even get up to that farmhouse, how much further it is, and get help back to this man, by that time he will be dead. He said, there's only one thing I can do. Somehow I've got to carry him. And so struggling with all of his might, he got this man in a sitting position, got around in front of him, finally was able to get him up on his shoulder, and struggling on, carrying that man's weight. He hadn't carried him very far until he noticed that the feeling was coming back in his hands and in his feet. And that man draped over his body was helping to shield him from that extreme cold wind. And that man's, what he had left of his body heat, plus carrying his weight, was causing his own heart to beat faster. And the next thing you know, he sensed there was some perspiration running down out from under his hat. And finally, He walked in and knocked on the front door of the porch of that farmhouse, having saved not only himself, but the life of his fellow traveler. Perspiring, sweaty, amen, hot. And I said that to say this. Folks, there are many people in our Baptist churches across America, many of them, they're so cold spiritually. They're tempted to just lie down, quit, forget it, let somebody else carry the load and the burden. But I'm going to tell you, the answer is not quitting. If you will get under the burden of your fellow man, in faith promise in particular, amen, start praying for them, loving these folk, reaching out to them, get a vision for them. I'm going to tell you, you're going to find out that Paul was right on target when he said, it is expedient for you to give. It's blessed. It's good. It's beneficial. You'll be helped. And your spiritual temperature, one day you'll walk into heaven, I mean, white hot for the Lord, having not only saved your life, not your soul. Your soul is saved when you trust Jesus. But having saved your life and the lives of many people, it's going to help to make heaven sweeter for all of eternity for you. Amen. Let's stand, please. Pardon me. I want us to read the book of Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. You pray for my voice. I'm having a little problem. But in verses 16 through 20, Jesus has already lived his life, preached, finished his ministry, been crucified, buried, resurrected. And now he appears to the 11 disciples, and he appears to them at a place where he has appointed them, verse 16 says. In verse 17, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Isn't that amazing? Just the 11 disciples there, but still there's some doubt. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, not some of the power, part of the power, but all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, that is, go in the light of this, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would help us, that we might preach clearly, plainly, give exactly what needs to be given. I pray that we'll be enabled to profit from the precious truths of your word. And God, in so doing, help us, Lord, to get more involved. I pray that every person would get involved. Dear Lord, in this matter of missions, helping to get the gospel to the ends of the earth. And Father, for that which you do, we're thanking you in advance in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Pastor Cole, I want to thank you again for inviting us to come and to be a part of your mission conference. And we've heard so much over the years of your church and thank the Lord for it. And I've been looking forward to this opportunity. Amen. But I want to talk to you again tonight on faith promise giving. And I said this morning, faith promise giving is simply trusting the Lord to give through us for his cause of world evangelization, what he would not otherwise give to us for our own personal use. This is a very, very clear biblical truth, a biblical principle in the scriptures. And if you'll get involved, I'm going to tell you, it will strengthen your faith watching the Lord in action. You're going to find that you'll be drawn closer to the Lord, closer to your church, and I'm not using cunningly devised fables. The Bible teaches us that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. When you start giving to missions, you're going to find that you love missions more. As you give to your church, you're going to find that the church means more to you because your treasure is there. Amen? And much more could be said on that, but I want you to look at our text tonight. Prior to Jesus giving the commission to go into all the world, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and then teaching them to observe all things, he said, whatsoever I've commanded you. Prior to that, He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. That is, go drawing on this power. Every single thing that we do in our Christian lives, we ought to do it drawing on the power of the Spirit of the Lord. We ought to pray before we set out to witness. We ought to pray before we go on visitation. We really ought to pray, and I'm not saying this facetiously, when we get in our automobiles to drive down the highways, especially as dangerous as it is this day and time, my wife and I try to always pray as soon as we start our vehicle up for the Lord to be with us. And God's, I praise His name, He's given us safety for over 55 years on the road, preaching and teaching and giving out the gospel and witnessing for Him. And I say to the glory of God now, we've never been involved in a major accident of any kind. God's let us have some close calls, but He's always shown that He's been with us. We ought to pray about everything. Listen, this matter of giving is no exception. You know, we pray for the Lord to help the preacher to preach. We pray for the Lord to help the teacher to teach. We pray for God to keep us safe when we lay down at night. We pray for the Lord to supply needs that we have for our homes, for our personal life. Nothing wrong with any of that. All of that is right and good. Why not take this one step further and say, Lord, there is a need, a vast need, of the preaching of Your Word around the world, because as we speak tonight, the majority of the world, I'm told by people in the know, have never even heard the name of Jesus. That's amazing. And folk, 70% of this world's population, I'm told, have never seen a Bible. 90% of the world's population has never owned one. There's a great need. So there are missionaries waiting, missionaries that are crisscrossing America like these folk, trying to raise their support to get to their fields, their calling. And they need support. They need support. Now, it is scriptural to support them. Pardon me, you find in the Old Testament, very clear instructions were laid down for the men of God who ministered about the things of God. Their financial care was very clearly taught. The prophets of old, in the old times, they lived by the love gifts, the offerings that were given by others. Even Jesus Christ Himself lived in this manner. You remember when He was born, and just shortly after that, the wise men came from the east to worship Him, bearing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You remember that? And at the same time they came, or immediately after, Joseph was warned in a vision to take the young child, Mary, and to flee into Egypt. He's a carpenter. How's he going to provide for his family? Got to develop new contacts, learn a new language, and believe me, that's going to be a challenge. Amen. They told us studying Spanish, it's an intensive course. I wondered later if it wasn't an intensive curse. But how's he going to provide for him? God the Father knew this, took all of this into consideration, and before Joseph was commanded to go, the provision was made by the wise men who came bearing the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I say again, Jesus lived in the same manner. Missionaries live today by the gifts and help from others. In the book of Luke, chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, you have the names, even the names of a number of people who, quote, ministered unto him of their substance. Jesus had a treasury. He had a treasurer named Judas. And that was used as a rule for purchasing of food for, they termed it, victuals, for them to eat. And these gifts were given from others. When the tax money question arose, as we mentioned this morning in Matthew chapter 17, with less effort than it would have taken for Jesus to snap his fingers, he could have resurrected wealth out of the bowels of the earth or called it down in advance from heaven, but he didn't do that. He followed a biblical principle by using a man named Peter to go and to receive a miraculous supply through a fish's mouth. And he did this in order to bless Peter, because Peter's taxes were due also. Amen. And Jesus said, go thou and cast the hook, take the first fish that cometh up. when he have opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that take and give unto them from me, and who? Thee. Amen. And God used others in providing for Jesus. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14, Paul the Apostle, in addressing this, and you study the context, he said, even so hath the Lord ordained. That word ordained means it's ordered, it's fixed, everything is in place for it to be. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel shall live of the gospel. And in the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6, Paul the Apostle writing again, he said, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. And that's again sharing with the teacher, the preacher, that teaches and preaches the word of God, you see. Covers the missionaries as well. Many, many scriptures we could go on and give you on this. But I want you to note, folks, listen, we're to do all of this in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Lord. Now, Jesus said, go ye. But before he said it, all power is given to me. Go ye therefore. Go in the light of this. Go drawing on this power. I want to give you one other thing that I want to share with you. Five ways the Lord will provide our faith promise offering. In the book of Matthew chapter 4, we find the Lord Jesus, pardon me, early in his ministry, and he said to the disciples, the Lord had come, and the scripture tells us that they had fished all night long and had taken nothing, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, the Bible says that he saw two men, said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And then in another place, and I thought this was it, I've already heard, and I apologize for that, but In the book of Mark, he said to the disciples, he said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Peter said, Lord, all night long we've toiled and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word we will. And he let down one net. Jesus said, let down the nets, plural. He let down one net, singular. And when they began to draw it, the net began to break because of the multitude of fishes. What made the difference? These were experienced, knowledgeable fishermen, had a fishing business, four men with two ships, and they toiled all night long, couldn't catch anything. They tell me the fish normally ran closer to the shore, but Jesus said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Contrary to reason. And Peter said, Lord, all night we've taught, taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, we will. And it worked at that point. Now, in faith promise giving, I want us to look for a little while at the word of God and see how the Lord has provided for his people to do things that he has told them to do. Now, five ways, and I'm going to give you these, and I'll try to be brief. Amen. You heard about the little Catholic boy that went to church with the Baptist boy, and he'd never been in a Baptist church. And here the fellow gets up, you know, and he's waving his hands for that first song, and the Catholic boy said, what's he doing? What's he doing? Why is he waving his arm? He said, he's keeping everybody in time with the singing. Okay, okay. Then they're passing the offering plates. The little Catholic boy, what are they doing? What's putting all that money in place for? Little Baptist boy said, that's the way we pay the bills. Okay, okay. So the pastor gets up, you know, and takes off his watch and kind of fiddles with the winding stem a little bit. And he said, folk, I'll be brief this morning. And little Catholic boy said, what do you mean? What's that mean? He said, don't pay that any attention. That doesn't mean a thing. Amen. But I will try to be brief. Five ways the Lord will supply. Number one, he may give you an increase through your employment. Increase through employment. Where's this happened before? All right, in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verses 33 through 35, Paul the Apostle, meeting with the Ephesian pastors on the Isle of Miletus on his way to Jerusalem, he said these words. He said, verse 33, he said, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands, speaking of his own, have ministered unto my necessities and those that were with me. Paul was a tent maker. When there was not sufficient support for himself and those laboring with him, he worked physically, laboring with his hands, but he did not take just simply enough work to make everything all right where he lived for himself. He took additional work, working overtime, if you please, in order to minister to those that were laboring with him in the gospel ministry. And the Lord may give you an increase through your work. It might be overtime. It might be a raise. It could be the Lord gives you a better paying job. Amen. If you're self-employed, he could increase your bottom line of profit. I was preaching along this line down in the church, in Charleston, South Carolina, and Hanahan Baptist Church. And I shared this principle. And I said, the Lord may give you overtime to help you with your faith promise. The next year, I went back down there. The pastor met us on Saturday night, going to start on Sunday like here. And some of his folk came over with me, and one of the men told me, said, Brother Rawls, you remember last year you said God might give you an increase through overtime with your company? He said, our company works diligently at preventing us from getting overtime. But he said, I got involved in Faith Promise last year, and I'm telling you, God has been giving me so much overtime, I'm praying, and then he added this jokingly, he said, I'm praying about cutting back on my faith promise because I almost can't handle all the overtime I'm getting. Of course, he's only getting time and a half up to a point, and then it's double time. And while he's having his faith promise supplied, God is supplying extra for him to use to pay off some bills, get some things taken care of at his house. Remember the fish story? When you open his mouth, you find a piece of money, take that and give them for me, and then the Lord adds extra for him. See? I was down in another church, and this was down in Gainesville, Georgia, and I'd preached there. This was the second or third conference, and so in the very first service, started on Wednesday night, that one, one of the men stood up back toward the back on this side, and in the song service, and he said, folks, stop, please. He said, I've just got to say something. He said, God has already shown me what I am to give in my faith promise this year. And he said, there is no way possible that I can do it except the Lord helps me. And he went on to add, he said, in addition to this, I have a daughter who is entering college next week, and I don't know where I'm going to get the extra money to cover the balance of her tuition. I think she had some scholarship grants or something, but it wasn't a full scholarship. And he said, I'm telling you, I need you to pray for me. And he sat down. Well, the next night, he comes back to church, sitting in that same location, in the song service. He said, folk, I asked you to pray last night. He said, I went into work this morning, and he said, I was operating, running my machine, and he said, the boss comes out walking around through the factory, through the complex there, and said, he came over behind my machine, stood there watching me for a while, and then he said to me, turn your machine off and come on in the office. I said, I want to chat with you. And he said, turn my machine off, went in the office. He sat down behind his, big executive desk, and he motioned me to sit down. Said, I sat down in one of the chairs there. And he said to me, you've made me a good employer, for a number of years. And he said, I want you to know that I appreciate it. And he said, I'm going to give you a raise starting today. And he added this. He said, I understand that you also have a daughter that's entering college this week. As the fellow said, I'm honest before God. I lie not. He said, that man said, I'm also going to add some extra to help you cover her tuition. And he said, folk, I'm telling you, the raise that man gave me is sufficient to cover my faith promise and to cover the extra amount we needed for our daughter's college tuition. God is faithful. Yeah, yeah. The Lord used that man's employment. And we could go on and give you many other examples. Number two, pardon me, the Lord may give you a gift or a series of gifts. In the Scriptures, you find in the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 34, and also the book of Luke, chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, where gifts were given to the Lord. In the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 34, also in the book of Mark, chapter 11, verse 3, the Lord sent the disciples over to a place, he said, be a place where two ways meet. And he said, there you shall find a colt tied. And he said, loose him and bring him to me. And if any man says to you, why loose ye the colt? You tell him, because the Lord hath need of him. And so they go over there, and evidently, while they're unloosing the colt, the owners are the ones responsible, said, what are you doing loose? Why are you untying the colt? They said, the Lord needs him. Had took care of him, amen. And as far as that man knows, it's a one-way thing. He doesn't know. But the point is that a gift was given for as long as it was needed. On another occasion, 5,000 men, besides the women and children, Jesus had been told by the disciples, said, Lord, send the multitudes away that they may go into town and village and buy for themselves victuals. And Jesus said, they need not depart, you feed them. And they said, Lord, from whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Where are we even going to find the stores to buy the bread from? And Jesus turns to Philip. You have to read all four accounts to get all this. But Jesus turns to Philip to prove him. And he said, Philip, from whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? He did this to prove Philip, for he knew what he would do. And Philip said, 200 pennyworth is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Somebody said, one group's looking at the crowd, the other group's looking at the cash, but what we need to do is look at Christ. Jesus said, what have you here? They said, there's a lad, hath five barley loaves, two small fish. Well, what are there among so many? Jesus said, bring it here. And the lad gave his lunch. Gifts are given for the glory and the purpose of God. I was preaching in a church down in Harlem, Georgia. A pastor named Arnold Whitson. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. But I closed the meeting on Sunday morning, and I said, Brother Whitson, if you don't mind, I said, any stories that you have on Faith Promise you might want to share. I said, if you don't mind, give me a call. So Monday morning, my phone rings. And he said, Preacher, Arnold Whitson here. I said, how you doing, brother? He said, listen, I'm doing fine. Just wanted to call you and tell you this thing of Faith Promise works. I said, I know it does. I said, what's happened? He said, you know, yesterday, he said, I promised that I'm going to give $10 a week. And he's getting started out. He said, I'm going to give $10 a week. And he said, for 52 weeks, it's going to be $520. And he said, with purpose, we're going to pray this in. And he said, this morning, two of my church members, they called me up, man and his wife, and said, Preacher said, I understand you're going out of town today, going over across to Memphis to see your son. He said, that's right. They said, don't leave. We're coming over to see you. And said, they came over, and they said, look, traveling costs money this day and time, and we want to give you a gift and want you to know that we love you. And he said, Preacher, they gave me a check for $500. He said, praise God, that's my faith promise for the entire year except for 2 weeks. He said, I've got 50 more weeks to pray in that other $20 and just laugh. See, God has people that will give us gifts. And I find this, the Lord will give through us what he will not give to us. Amen? Now, let me give you a third thing. Number three, it may be the Lord will rearrange your outgo. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 5, also in the book of Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 21, God did this for Israel. You go back to Exodus chapter 25, and you find that God, through Moses, commanded the children of Israel to bring an offering, gold, silver, brass, precious stones they were to give of their ram skin dyed red and scarlet, and then goat's hair and badger skin and so on. Every area of their lives were being touched by the offerings that he was telling them to give. The goat's hair, for example, was used as a covering. It was an ongoing process to take out a piece that might be getting old and put in a new piece to keep themselves dry and shielded from the elements. The gold and the brass and the silver could have been used to hire armies to help fight for them if they're attacked by enemies. Could be used to purchase food if there had been any supermarkets around, amen. But the Lord said, I want you to give this to me. And they did. The Lord, by the way, had already provided for this when they left Egypt. He put it into the hearts of the Egyptians to loan to the children of Israel, and Israel spoiled them, in effect collected their back pay for all of the years that they had been working as slaves. But, the Lord said, give. You know what the Lord did? God blessed their shoes so much they lasted for 40 years, and their clothing lasted as well for 40 years, did not wax old. Somebody said, can you imagine a woman's dress never getting old in 40 years? I can't imagine a man's suit lasting 40 years. But God blessed them. And not only did God bless them in doing this, but God honored what had become God-blessed shoe leather that they were wearing on their feet. When they got ready to cross over Jordan to go into the land of promise, the river was at its flood stage. How in the world are they going to get across? And I thought, you know, I read the story how that the priest walked down carrying the ark in front of everybody, and I always pictured it, preacher, ere the water touched the ark of God, the Lord just built an invisible dam. But when God began putting this message together, I couldn't hardly wait. I'm telling you, I was almost tearing my Bible pages, trying to get over there so fast, because I wanted to see if what I was going to find was what I was thinking I was going to find. And when I got over there, do you know what the Bible said? It was when the sole of the feet of the priest touched the water that God caused the water to stand upon a heap. The Lord can rearrange your outgo. He can give us a better deal on groceries, make our cars last longer. We just retired an old 91 Buick LeSabre, 323,000 miles on it. We had prayed over that car, and God kept it running and kept it running. It did have the engine replaced at 278,000. Our granddaughter tried to baptize it in the creek, and it didn't go for that. They just don't make them like they used to, Pastor. Put an engine in it, cost $300. That thing, you hit the starter right now. And if it could talk, he said, man, I'm bored. I'm glad you're here. Where you been? I want to go. Let's go. Brakes work great. Same air conditioning. Same windshield wiper motor. I'm talking about, folks, listen, the same windshield. It's same transmission. If you know anything about those cars, they're noted for the transmissions going out. That one didn't. God can cause us to have less maintenance on the house, make the roof last longer. He can give us less sickness. Amen. He can rebuke the devourer for our sakes. I will have to tell you, speaking of that car, I will have to tell you in all honesty that I learned from a missionary about some additives that you can put in the engine and the transmission and some things to do that helped it. Amen. I'm selling those secrets for $10 each. Amen. No, seriously. If you see me, I'll tell you about it. But God can give us better wisdom to be better steward of what He's already given to us. Rearranging right. I don't know about you, but I'm telling you what, there was a time when I was a very young fella, I'd just about buy a steamship 1,000 miles from water, no way to sail it if I had it in the water. I was a sucker. Where'd I sign, you know? And I bought stuff I didn't need from people I didn't like, got a payment book I couldn't handle, and it caused a lot of praying. My wife, I got a precious wife. I mean, it's a wonder she didn't crown me, amen? I mean, skin my head. But she's patient with me, amen? And I'm glad God gave me grace to not do that stuff, amen? Let me give you number four. God, the Lord can give us the spirit to sacrifice joyfully. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 34 and 35, it says there, and I think the writer Paul said, you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing that in heaven you have a better and an enduring substance. I think of the Macedonian Christians, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. They heard the need of the poor saints at Jerusalem. They purposed to give, and they gave to their power, yea, and beyond their power. And evidently they gave such a large offering that in verse 4, Paul was hesitant to take it. And the Bible says, praying us with much entreaty, they for us to receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. And Paul said, and this they did, as if to say, I'm not stretching the truth, I'm not pulling your leg. They did this, not as we hoped, they exceeded that, but first gave themselves unto the Lord and unto us by the will of God. They gave joyfully. I think of a man named Bobby Shelton. He and I went to school together, same high school, got saved at the same church about the same time, rode the same old Harley-Davidson motorcycle together. That's back in my wild days, amen. The faster it run, the better I liked it. And we got called to preach about the same time. By the way, if you have a Harley-Davidson motorcycle, don't tempt me to ride it, amen. I don't need that. This part all the way over is where I like it, amen. You know what that means? Amen. Flat out, amen. I ain't got no sense when I get on one. I mean, I don't want to ride one. Amen. Say amen, sweetie. There you go. Amen. Brother Bobby Shelton, pastoring. He and I kind of lost contact with each other after a while. And wasn't in hard feelings or anything, but years into our ministry, he sent word through my mother to contact him. He wanted me to come for a meeting. So I went to his church, introduced Faith Promise Giving. They started giving. He said, Brother Ross, let's do this again next year and the next year, and start having mission conferences. He had a landscaping business and did very well with it. He owned a nice home in a nice neighborhood, in a nice town, and drove nice cars. I'm talking about Lincoln Town Car, Continentals. You know, I mean, some of them so long with all the bells and whistles, you'd almost have to unhinge the thing getting around some little curves, you know. And I said, Brother, it looks like you've done pretty well for yourself. He said, well, the Lord's blessed us. He blessed us, amen. But in talking with him, I found out that his business was beginning to fail. And the next year I was back and I said, Brother Bobby, last year we were talking about your business. And I said, I understand it's failing. He said, I asked him, I said, is it any better? And he said, Brother Rawls, he said, it's not. He said, in fact, if something doesn't happen, we're going to lose everything we have. I said, why don't you advertise, Bobby? Why don't you advertise? Man, you're a respectable man, hardworking, honest. People want people like you to work for them. He said, well, I don't have the liberty to advertise. He said, I never have. I just don't have the liberty. And I respect him for that. But I was talking with him, and I can close my eyes and see him so plain. In this same conversation, in almost the same breath, he said, I don't know what's happening with our business, but he said, I'm going to tell you, this thing of giving to missions is the greatest blessing that has come along in my ministry. He said, I would to God that I had learned about this years and years ago. And he repeated, it's the greatest blessing that's come along in my ministry. You say, well, Brother Rawls, with him giving to missions like that, and he was sacrificing joyfully, how do you explain his business failing? Well, as Paul Harvey said, now for the rest of the story. Brother Bobby didn't know it. I didn't know it. No one else knew it. But his wife was about to come in to what we call down south, a bushel basket full of money. You see, Brother Bobby had terminal cancer. Nobody knew it. When the doctors discovered it, it was too late. They had carried very, very good insurance, and when he died, she received literally hundreds of thousands of dollars. But with what he had given, he had already made some investments that he'll enjoy for all of eternity. You see, with the business going down, he wasn't going to need that business in heaven. Sister Mary wasn't going to need it for that money. Amen. God gave Bobby the spirit to sacrifice over. Number five, and we'll close. The Lord may work the supernatural. As we said concerning Peter, you know, the Lord does this. In the book of Matthew 17, I think of a man by the name of Amos Lockhart. Amos Lockhart got started giving to missions back years ago, and at that point in time, he was giving monthly rather than giving weekly. I encourage you to give weekly. His faith promise was due the next day. This was Saturday. And every month, God had supplied and enabled Amos Lockhart, one way or the other, to give his very appreciable missions offering. And this particular Sunday coming up, less than 24 hours later, he did not have the money. So his family's inside in the house doing whatever. He goes outside walking around in the back, and he's praying specifically for his faith promise. He said, Lord, something like this, you've never failed to give me the faith promise that I've trusted you for and you put on my heart to give. And Lord, I'm praying and trusting you even now to supply it. I don't have it otherwise. Unless you help me, I cannot give my faith promise tomorrow. And just walking around out there just praying, talking to the Lord, just him and the Lord. Here's a man driving by his house, slams on brakes, comes backing up, pulls into his driveway, got out of his car and called out to Brother Lockhart. He said, hey, he said, I wonder if that fuel tank's for sale you got up there in the back of your house. And Brother Amos smiled. He said, it might be. He said, let's talk about it. And he said, Brother Rawls, we got together on a price within 50 cents of what my faith promise was. And here's what the man added. He said, I've looked at that tank, passed by here, said I live down the road, said I've passed by here many times, been intending to stop by and ask about it, but he said, I just never had it. He said, when I saw you out here in the back, he said, I thought, this is it. I'm going to ask you. You think the Lord wasn't in that? You think the Lord didn't use that to strengthen Brother Amos Lockhart's faith? Amen? And I say to you, God will strengthen your faith and will bless and honor you as you get involved and watch him day by day consistently helping you in giving your faith promise to missions. In the scriptures in the book of Luke, the Bible, Jesus exhorts us to use our money to make friends that will receive us one day into everlasting habitations. I'd like to be able, by the grace of God, some way, to spend the first 1,000 years, maybe longer, on visitation, visiting folk that maybe, just maybe, I had a part in helping get to the other side, get to heaven. How many would you be able to visit? Souls are dying, men are crying. We have the means of helping to send a missionary to reach them. Let's stand, please, our heads bowed and eyes closed.